to the Neil Haley Show, the Total Celebrity segment, and I'm excited to welcome to the program Anne Marie Cummings of Conversations in LA. Anne Marie, thanks for calling. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Again, with the, it still seems like winter in Pittsburgh, so I'm sure you're not dealing with that in LA at all. And we're expecting snow again, and this is April, so it's not the best. But hey, we just deal with excitement of just talking about different things. But let's just jump really quickly to why you wanted to become an actor. Tell us that story, especially when you started out in daytime. I want to hear that story of how you got into daytime work and stuff like that.
I started acting when I was about 6 years old. I was a kid, and I remember, I think my first inspiration was Meryl Streep. Sophie's Choice, I think it was. But, you know, mm-hmm. I was so impressed with her. And here I am, 6, 7 years old, and I'm, you know, watching Meryl Streep, and I was moved by the emotions. And just even at that age, I was just always drawn to a sort of poeticness in actors like Meryl Streep and Al Pacino. I started out with children's theater, and then I ventured into my teen years. I started just going out myself, taking myself out on auditions to, while I was in high school, I was going out on auditions to plays in the area. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I remember when I got Anne Frank, that was a big turning point for me. Another intense and emotional role, but I really dived into the story of Anne Frank. And I remember going to museums and reading books and her diary and looking at photos and feeling very close to that person. And I think that's what, yes, Meryl Streep was about too. You know, she, you know, is an actress who is method, but also embodies a character. And so I started doing that at a very young age. And then I continued to stay after I went to Carnegie Mellon there in Pittsburgh.
Yes, I did.
I went to the drama program, the conservatory 4-year drama program there. And after that, I ended up staying in the theater circuit, doing regional theater. And I worked with some of the best directors in the United States. I worked with Doug Hughes, who was the direct out when it was on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
I worked with Anne Bogart, who really inspired mm-hmm. me with her viewpoints that, you know, because I ended up doing, after I worked the circuit all around the United States, different regional theaters, I was doing I started to do my own work in Seattle, and I became more in the direction, and I started to direct a little bit too, and this is really in my late 20s. I really was inspired by Anne Bogart's viewpoints, so that I began to approach my work in a more abstract, avant-garde way. And
okay.
I've always done that, which is what I do with Conversations in LA as well. So, you know, my background is the theater. And I had a theater in upstate New York before I moved here 3 years ago. And so what I decided to do, because my theater in upstate New York moved from theater spaces into a movie theater. I started to move, and really for the first time, I mean, in my late 40s, being interested in theater and TV and film and moving my work there. So what I started to do was I started to film my own plays and the plays of other people. And then I decided, this is it. I got to move to Los Angeles. I need to be doing television and episodic work, but I
yes.
wanted to merge theater onto film to create these one-shot takes, which is what Conversations in LA, my five-time
wow.
daytime Emmy-nominated series, is.
Interesting. So, and I want to learn more and more about that, Anne-Marie. So you basically, what I've seen is that the best actors out there start in the theater. Because when you are in the theater, your ability to monitor and adjust, your ability to take one take and get something is far different than other actors, isn't it? Because you guys really have to be prepared on the theater, because if you mess up, everyone is watching. Compared to a television take, there's 20 takes, 100 takes sometimes.
Right, right. It's very interesting, the process. Certainly, you know, we, obviously, for the theater, you have 2-3 weeks of rehearsing, and then you're in front of an audience, and you get used to, you just go no matter what. Once the curtain is, once every the audience is there, the curtain rises, you go. And you learn to work with whatever happens. And I feel like the style of this, one-shot episodes, certainly lends itself. If I'm working with theater actors, they, and many of the actors I work with on this series have that theater background. I have,
okay.
I think, nine people from Carnegie Mellon who are in this.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
We have to bring out, I used to teach at St. Agnes School, where we had a program with Carnegie Mellon Theater coming in to work with the kids. So probably
some of those,
who knows if they were there when I was teaching there, which, again, it's still 8 or 9 years ago, but the program, it's very interesting to see how amazing that Carnegie Mellon program is. Just have to tell you that they really do. And you got to be bright, too. Anne-Marie is bright.
Yes.
Trust me. It's Carnegie Mellon. Yes. Yes, for sure.
Well, you know, I think of, I mean, the reason I call Immediate Vision, my film production company, Immediate Vision Productions, is because it's about the vision. It's about what I'm, the uniqueness. Nobody is doing what I'm doing, these one-shot episodes.
Yes.
And, you know, the intro and the outro, they're montages, and they're always different, and they're cut with edits, usually 2 minutes on the front end and 2 minutes on the back end. But
oh,
our
wow.
episodes can go up to 20 minutes straight on. And I do like working with theater actors, but I don't mind working with straight up TV and film actors too. You know, it's a challenge for them, but I think the ones that come on board, you know, sometimes they're used to just 3 pages and then it goes, okay, cut. But ours, it's usually 12 pages and they have to sustain it. And,
wow.
you know, we do a lot of takes. I do a lot of rehearsals. So it feels like a theater process for these actors. It feels like they're in a play. And it's funny being out here. A lot of people will say to me, okay, wait, you can't have all these rehearsals. You can't. This is not what we do. And I'm like, well, you know, look, Terrence Malick has his style as a director. Every director has their own style and own method.
Yeah.
And my style and method is, look, these are one shots. I think somebody was just telling me the other day, Stanley Kubrick does something like, what, it's like 100 takes. And I, you know, I can't even imagine that in one day. But for me, it is basically like 100 takes, but I spread it out over two weeks or so.
That's amazing. And again,
it is
intense. Absolutely. We're talking to Anne-Marie Cummings of Conversations in L.A. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about some of the supporting cast you have and then your character in the story. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my character is the protagonist, Michelle Maccabee. She's an older woman. She's menopausal. She's very moody. She's going through a transition in her life. She's deciding that she's not happy with her job. This is season one, not happy with her job at Amazon for a decade that she's been doing that.
Okay.
And she meets this young Hispanic man. She's also lost her dog. And she and this, so, you know, a lot of people that are in their 40s are going through a transition in their life.
Yes.
The midlife crisis is what we call it.
Yes.
So she meets this young Hispanic guy and they have what is, the way I've written it, is a soul connection. It's not the typical older woman, younger man that's portrayed in TV and film or even theater, where it's based on some sort of just a physical sexual connection. It's really a deep connection. Two people who meet and inspire each other and help each other. And, you know, we ask ourselves many times, can it, something like this really work? Well, you know, I think it's individual, and age is not what I think makes a relationship. If you really, you know, at least the story I'm telling is we see the struggle of these two people, and this continues through seasons one and two and all the people they meet along the way. And we see the people Michelle meets, we see the people that Gus meets, and the journey that they're taking as a couple.
Absolutely.
So in season one, I don't want to give out anything away, but, you know, it is about their journey.
All.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a really exciting year. We have Justin Kirk from Weeds and Willie Garson from Sex and the City that are coming on board. In season two, we had Rebecca Metz, who also went to Carnegie from Better Things and Shameless. So, you know, it's really been exciting. The people in each season, they come and go, but the main people, and sometimes they're recurring, but the main people are Gus and Michelle. Maybe their couples therapist stays the same, you know, things like that. But, you know, it's a very important time for us. You know, I think that if you decide, like I am, I'm, you know, I sold my house in upstate New York. I decided to take a big risk and invest those funds into this project make it happen so that we can move to a major platform like HBO or Netflix. And this year we have Mogul Studios, our producing partner, on board. So that's exciting too.
How can you get to that next level? That's a great point to make, what your strategy is next, to try to get to one of those area, those places, either HBO or Netflix.
And people have asked me this many times, and I think that it's individual. It's every show has its own path. And the last thing in the world I thought when I began this project, which was really just, I was just writing scenes, and it turned into, I realized, oh my God, I have a series. I should just go for it. You know, it was the fact that we got the first year in 2017 that we got, I received a Daytime Emmy nomination for Outstanding Actress, and then my co-star for Outstanding Lead Actor, and then Vanita for supporting Vanita Harbor. That inspired us, and we said, wait a minute, we got to keep going. So that pushed us to take it from just our website, conversationsinla.com, to let's put it up on iTunes and Amazon. Now, let's just do a second season. So we've taken big risks, and I think that for anyone out there who is working on a series or a show, sometimes you just do the pilot and try and sell that way. But we're going all the way. So now we have received two more Daytime Emmy nominations, for writing for myself and Mikey Winfield, the guest actor. And now we're like, oh my God, now we're even more inspired. So this is when we, by the end of season two, I decided, okay, I've got to reach out to get some partners involved. And our producing partner is Mogul Studios. And they are a Fortune 100 company run by the CEO is Tiffany Pham. And this is their first project under the name Mogul Studios. So this is a really, really exciting time because now with their help and support, we believe we can take it to that next level. It takes time.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you have the passion, Marie, and that's the thing. And with these nominations leads to credibility, leads to people, and then someone's going to pick you up. There's so many other streaming services out there now. You never know where you take it that you won't even need to have to go to those platforms. But having those goals in mind for your show and continuing to grow it and invest in it is the best possible situation. And when it's time, it will happen. That's my take.
Right. Right. No, and I think that, you know, it's one of these things when we watch TV shows that are out there, yes, I think some get picked up right from a pilot, but some have a long life that we don't even know about, maybe for a few years before. I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that maybe Mad Men and even Breaking Bad, you know, they had you know, it took several years before those shows actually made it. So, you know, I mean, we have, there are a lot of things about this that are unique. I also really wanted to give one of the leads, to have him be a Hispanic, and my co-star,
yes,
being a Hispanic, we don't necessarily recognize in the entertainment world. I don't think we give enough to the Hispanic community, but here in LA, I think, you know, this is predominantly a Hispanic community. So it's exciting to see that as well. I mean, Gustavo Velasquez is an unknown, and this is his first big project, but he is an amazing talent, and he kind of think of him like a young Benjamin Bratt, but he's just incredible, and sometimes unknowns make history. So I'm excited about the direction of this. I hope this is also helping anyone out there who is working,
yes,
on a show. You know, it's about persistence. It's about perseverance. It's
absolutely
about,
it seems like that's,
you know,
what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited,
yeah,
for you, especially Carnegie Mellon.
Thank you.
So we have to stay in touch. We got to stay connected.
Absolutely.
In different things. And I want to, because here's the thing. I started out my career at Carnegie Mellon with the radio show. I didn't go to Carnegie Mellon. I started on one station. I'm still on it, WRCT, for an education show, and I've syndicated 120-plus stations, have television, have all these pickups and huge reach. So it's really amazing,
it's amazing
to think about our connection with Carnegie Mellon. So we have to keep that definitely going, and I'll reach out to you social media-wise. Follow me on Twitter or whatever, Instagram, wherever you feel, because as we all know, Facebook, we always fill up our friends pretty quickly. I'm at 5,000, so that's but nice to have some sort of place we can connect, for sure. But where can,
absolutely,
the rest of the people connect with you and watch Conversations in LA? What's the best thing they can do?
Well, iTunes and Amazon is seasons 1 and 2, and also conversationsinla.com if people want a little bit more about the show and they can see the gallery. But we have an Instagram page. Everything's, all of our social media can be, you can link directly to it from conversationsinla.com, our Facebook, Instagram, and even Pinterest and Twitter. So, you know, we're out there, and just go to conversationsinla.com. It makes it easy that way.
All right. Well, Anne-Marie, thanks for calling. Best of luck.
Oh my God. Thank you.
It is so motivating, and it's motivating other people that are in the same position as you, that each day continue to put your best effort forward and put out great content. And in this day and age, it's the perfect timing because of all those streaming opportunities. People are going to find you, and if you keep getting daytime Emmys, come on now, somebody's going to grab you before it's too late,
yeah,
you know? And
yeah,
that's for sure. And well, I appreciate you calling. You'll keep getting bigger and bigger stars too if you keep getting those nominations. Maybe this time
thank
an
you,
award
thank
when
you.
It comes when it comes time. So we'll see
well,
when that
we'll
happens.
See.
You
get
your
first
Emmy.
Coming up in a few weeks. Yeah.
Okay,
well, I mean,
so.
I love Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for, you know, really to all the Pittsburgh folks. Pittsburgh is one of my favorite cities in the United States. I have good memories there. So I have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. Take care. Thanks again.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You listen to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.